relationship breaks down because we are afraid to have the hard conversations with people about a situation or a circumstance that occur between us. Hard conversations, they heal, they help, and they humble. I don't live under the delusion that everybody is ready for a hard conversation. Not everybody's ready for that. I have to address my wounds. I can't just pretend like they didn't happen. Hey, you made it to the other side of it. Whew, let's keep moving. No, I'm bleeding. And so the bleeding doesn't stop at survival. The bleeding stops with the addressing of what happened along the way.
You're listening to the Visibly Fit Podcast. Hey, I'm your host, Wendy Pett. And every week, I'll give you holistic, practical solutions for everyday issues related to nutrition, healing, functional fitness, and behavior modifications. As a naturopath, fitness expert, and wellness coach for over 20 years, my goal is to empower you to reach for greater health and to rise up to your next level of living in mind, body, and spirit. You were created with greatness in mind. It's time to own it. Are you with me? Then let's dive in. Hello, friend, and welcome back to the Visibly Fit Podcast. I'm your host, Wendy Pett. Today, we have an incredibly impactful episode. I mean, they're all impactful, right? But let's get real. This is one that is going to be a little bit different and a little bit different in the way it impacts. And so I'm excited. I wasn't sure how it was going to go, but man, the Lord is in this conversation. And so I want to welcome BJ Communicates. He's also known as Dr. Bradley Johnson. And BJ is a writer and an IO psychology professional. That IO stands for Industrial Organizational. And he's dedicated to coaching urban believers on how to healthily progress in their careers and in their communication. Under the pen name BJ Communicates, he shares a diverse range of music, podcasts, books, and digital shows that inspire and uplift urban communities. He's made waves in the music industry with 6 singles, including the hit called You're Real, which garnered over 500,000 digital streams shortly after it was released, which is so cool. In addition to his musical achievements, BJ is an accomplished author with 2 previous books in 2009. One was called Removing the Grave Clothes, and his first venture into inspirational urban fiction was called Hard Conversations, book number 1. The subtitle is Breadcrumbs to the Past, and his upcoming book, which just released July 1st, is called Hard Conversations, book 2, Over and Over. And it is already hitting the shelves, and I know it's going to be a great hit. Now, in today's episode, we're going to dive into some key topics, such as the importance of sharing and telling our stories, our personal stories. We're going to be talking about the necessity of overcoming our past by facing it. Yes, we have to face our past to get through it. We're going to be recognizing the signs of trauma and how we can refuse to be silenced by our experiences. We're going to engage in this vital conversation with BJ, and I promise you're going to be empowered, you're going to be inspired, and you're going to, hopefully, I believe you're going to learn to embrace hard conversations in your own life. Hard conversations are a key to your freedom in so many different ways. So let's get started. Hope you enjoy the show. Well, welcome, BJ Communicates, to the Visibly Fit Podcast. It's a delight to have you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm excited about talking with you and talking about all the different things that are going on.
Yeah, I'm super excited as well. And a friend of ours connected us, and this is going to be a little bit different conversation, which I like to throw these in sporadically throughout my podcast episodes, just because these are important topics. And Visibly Fit is about being fit mind, body, spirit, emotions. And you're all about having tough conversations.
Absolutely.
And that is really, it can impact our health if we don't have those tough conversations, or if we go about those tough conversations in an incorrect fashion. So let's talk about the premise, first of all, of what got you on this trajectory of writing about tough conversations.
Sure. So for me, I think that one of the things is that my whole life, I've always been a communicator. I remember as my aunts and my uncles, my mom is one of 10, and she always, my aunts and uncles always tell the story that even when I was 2 and 3, I could hold a lot of adult conversation, and I could carry on a conversation very well. And so I've already always been able to talk. But what I learned throughout life and growing up is that oftentimes, because of how what it, we've experienced affects others, we often begin to dial back on having the hard conversations, and it usually leads to our detriment. And so as I've grown both in corporate America as well as in my personal life, I've discovered the need to have hard conversations with those that say they love us and those that we love, in order for us to be productive in life, in order for us to continue to grow and to develop. And so just seeing the need for it in my own life, as well as watching others, watching my own family, I go through things, and it always would bother me to see that relationship breaks down because we are afraid to have the hard conversations with people about a situation or a circumstance that occurred between us. Sometimes people call it family secrets. And so we go not getting the relation, we go on in life not getting the relationships that we want. Not having the closeness that we want, not having resolution. There are people, of course, I'm sure you know as well, where a lot of times in families, you see where there is lifelong rivalry. and it seems as though these siblings can't get along. And it rarely is about what's going on now. And usually it's about something that happened growing up, as teenagers, as young adults. Mm-hmm. And nobody's ever had the conversation about that. It's the little things that we try to call name as being the reason why we are this way or why we can't get along. And really, it's not the root. And I don't believe that we can move forward. I don't believe that we can heal. I don't believe that we can live our best life without having those hard conversations.
That's so good. And that goes on both sides of that relationship, the one that's keeping the secret or not sharing and bearing it all, and also the one that's it's being kept from. Let's talk a little bit about your personal experience early on with your dad. If you don't mind, can you go in and share that story?
Sure. My dad has been in my life for my whole life. My parents got divorced. They were high school sweethearts, but they got divorced when I was five. And I did not know it at the time. But my father, as an adult, I realized that my father had dealt with substance abuse and addiction all of my life. He always had a job. He always was able to work and work great jobs.
So high functioning.
Yes. But there were issues that caused him not to show up in the best way as a dad for me and my brother. And so this new book that I have coming out, I even dedicated to him because my dad unfortunately passed away in August. So it hasn't quite been a year. After he passed away, my older brother shared some stories. I always say that my dad was my dad, but he was my brother's best friend. And my brother shared some stories right after he passed with me about my dad's life and some of the conversations they had. And it made me sad because I believe that when we don't have deep, in-depth conversations of what's on our heart and our mind, it's hard for people to have compassion for you if they don't know your story. And so some of the things that I wish I knew about my dad when he lived, I only found out when he died. And had it, even though we had a relationship, I wanted it to be closer. I wanted it to be better. And a part of me understanding him would have been able to have those conversations that he had that led to him making some of the decisions in life that he made. And so that even the more reinforced the need for us to have hard conversations, to be open to hearing people's stories, even if it's not what we want to hear. Because it may bring the healing that we don't know we even need. It may bring the closeness or even the compassion that we can't find for someone, because often we think that the reason that people do things is because they're just a bad person or because they're just choosing it. But everybody has a story. And oftentimes it's in the story. And it reminds me of John 4 with Jesus with the woman at the well, where Jesus began to recount to her own story. And then the walls came down and she was able to receive the message, and she was able to be transformed by having a hard conversation. Jesus didn't skirt over her place, her faults in it, right? Because he said, go and get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. He says, you've had five, right? And the man you're living with now, you're not even married to. So that Jesus doesn't just skip over our responsibility in our life, but he had that hard conversation and it transformed her very life.
Oh, that's so good. Well, I would imagine that most people don't have hard conversations because they probably think they're protecting maybe the loved ones by not sharing. I don't know, but I'm just speculating that that could be the case on some situations. But let's talk about what exactly is a hard conversation, because what might be a difficult or hard conversation for one person isn't really difficult for somebody else. So let's unpack that a little bit.
Sure. I define a hard conversation as a conversation where I express what I desire, require, and need. And oftentimes people don't have those conversations. Just one point that you made was because they're afraid of how it'll affect the other person, right? So that is one reality, that oftentimes we don't express what we require, desire, and need, because we are afraid of how the other person will react to it. And I always challenge people that I do communications coaching with, the reason that you still have to have these conversations is because even though the other person is in peace, you're in turmoil. And so why not have the hard conversation that will bring you the relief? And of course, I give them tools on how to have that conversation, because you just can't go off on someone. But it is important that you have that conversation, because guess what? Oftentimes, another reason is that we've made up in our minds what we believe someone's response will be. And so therefore, we won't have it because it's in our head. It's not that the reality, it's just in our heads. And so oftentimes, I really believe it's the enemy that talks to us and says, hey, don't say that because they're going to say this. And so we're in fear, you know, false fear of them not receiving it, them not understanding, them blowing up on us. And so therefore, we don't have those conversations. And so when we have those, it frees us. I always say three things. I say hard conversations, they heal, they help, and they humble, right? They heal, meaning that my healing may be as simple as having the conversation with someone to say, hey, this is what I require, desire, and need. What you did and on X date, this is how it affected me. And giving them the opportunity to say, I apologize, I was wrong. That can be healing just within itself, right? They help. Mm-hmm. They help me because it gives me the opportunity. Sometimes we've painted people as the villain. And when we have the hard conversation, it really is a misunderstanding. I didn't, you know, the other person says, I didn't mean it that way. That's not the way that I thought that interaction had. Hey, you thought that I meant it this way. That's not how I meant it. And so we can clear the air. We can repair relationships, so it can heal relationships. It can help. It can help me to be able to get over it. It can help us to still continue in relationship. I've had times in my life where I've lost friends, right? And it is, all of us, I think, have had the situation where it just goes radio silent, right? You were talking all the time and then you don't know what happened. So I've reached out to people and said, hey, did I do something? That's a hard conversation because you're opening yourself up to be wrong.
Did I offend you?
Yeah. Did I offend you? Did I do something that was wrong? No, everything is right, but you're acting different. And so oftentimes the hard conversations help because we can clear the air. I can hear what maybe would help me as an individual, because maybe I think I've done everything right. Right. And so by you telling me, it helps me to evolve and grow as a person. And I say they humble. Right. Mm-hmm. Having hard conversations with the people in our lives, it deflates them from believing that they're perfect in all their ways. When we have hard conversations, it humbles us because somebody may tell us that you're not as awesome as we think we are. Right. We're not. We haven't done everything
we
right.
We need to all hear that. Yes.
Exactly. That we've crossed every I. I mean, we've crossed every T and dotted every I. Those hard conversations lets us know that we still need God's grace, because I'm not perfect. Mm-hmm. I have not arrived yet. I am not. The only perfect person I always say is Jesus. And so it helps me to understand that I still have places of improvement, places to work. And so for me, hard conversations is telling people what I require, desire, and need. And oftentimes, in order for me to tell you what I require, desire, and need, I have to dig into my past. Hey, when you did X, that's not what I need anymore in my life. I can't have that in my life. I require you to talk to me in a certain way. So let's unpack why you feel like it's necessary for you to come at me like that. And so that's how I would define hard conversations.
That's really good. And I was thinking about, you know, that conversation that you may have. And sometimes we think it's something that we've done, that like when you mentioned the friend going silent or something. And really, sometimes it's just something that they're doing that is keeping them from wanting to be in your company, right? So that's not always something that you're doing that's wrong per se, but it's still good to have that conversation because it might even give a checkpoint for your friend to be like, she's on to me or whatever, or he's on to me and I need to kind of straighten my act up. So it can go both ways there. And okay, let's talk a little bit about
If I can just throw one thing in there. And I think that it also can be healing for them, especially in a day where we're talking about mental health like never before. Sometimes in being brave enough to have that hard conversation, you may discover that your friend is going through something that, like you said, has nothing to do with you. Mm. And then you're able to help them because they may be in a deep depression and not just withdrawing from you, but from everybody. And by you tapping in and saying, hey, what's going on with us? You may discover that they're in a place where they need prayer, where they need somebody to restore them and rescue them. And when we don't have those hard conversations, think about how many people may be suicidal, that it really is. We're afraid to have the conversation, but the conversation may save their life. And so we have to be willing to have it in order not only to heal ourselves, but to heal them or to rescue them or to help them in an area that, you know, we may not be aware of if we don't.
That's so good. Yeah, that reaching out is so important. Now let's talk a moment about stories, because we all do have a story, but sometimes the stories, I mean, I'd say most of the time, it's from the storyteller's perspective. And so how do you address that when it comes to hard conversations? Because it might be that the story is this by the person that is sharing the story, but the person witnessing what happened with that person, that's not really the story altogether. They're missing a few of the important details. So let's talk about that when it comes to hard conversations, because they may not be willing to understand or hear as you have that hard conversation because the details are lacking.
Absolutely. Sometimes that's where a mediator comes in or a communication coach comes in.
Yes, there you go.
Yes. And that happens often because a lot of times we're locked into our version of what happened. And I think that it takes humility. I think it takes honesty. I think it takes realizing that we're flawed to entertain the possibility that the way that we recall or remember something isn't all the way that it happened. Because oftentimes when we remember an interaction with someone, we remember it from our intent versus the actuality of what happened, right? And so I didn't intend that. And so we rewrite it in our brains and in our hearts that I didn't say it like that, or I didn't mean it like that. And I've done enough communication coaching with couples to realize that I've sat in sessions where a husband will say something and then the wife will say, see what I mean? He said this, doc. And I'll say, and he'll say, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. And I say, yes, you did. I'm here. I heard it. You did say, oh, I didn't know I said it. So I can imagine what's going on at home. Right. And so I think that it takes humility to admit that as we recount this and unpack this, the possibility of my remembrance of it may not be completely accurate, but that takes humility. Because pride tells us that I'm right in all my ways, that I've done everything right, and it has to be you because it couldn't possibly be me. And so it takes humility and
ugly pride. Yes,
exactly. And sometimes it is. I don't live under the delusion that everybody is ready for a hard conversation. Not everybody's ready for that, and it's up to us as the individual trying to have it to attempt it. But we have to go in it with the realization that the story of my recollection of it, you may not be able to receive. And there's nothing I can do about that but pray and say, God, I've tried, right? I've tried to be there. And then the relationship may change based on their ability to receive it at that particular time.
Yeah. Oh my goodness. That's so good. What comes to mind, this is kind of a quick, funny story, but my son, when he was five, he's 25 now, but he was into, you know, army guys and all that kind of stuff. And so I took him to get on a real live army tank truck ride. And he was only five. It was his golden birthday. And anyway, long story short, I was hanging on to him really tight because this thing's moving. And anyway, I thought he had a great time, right? In my eyes, I'm like, oh, this is like the childhood dream. Like, this is cool. Like, it's letting off like blank ammo. And anyway, it was super cool, I thought. Well, when I tell the story to him now, like, hey, do you remember your golden birthday? He's like, yeah, mom, you were choking me the whole time. I'm like, what do you mean I was choking you? But evidently I was hanging on to him so tight, and maybe I was choking him a little bit and didn't realize it. And so anyway, but that's his that's what he remembers. Yeah. So it's those kind of things that you're like, what? What do you mean I was choking you? So anyway, I just think it's kind of funny when you look back and you see the different perspectives of stories and what went on. And it's humbling to think that, gosh, maybe I was kind of choking him as a protective parent and give him that, you know? So, all right, well, let's talk a little bit about your books, because this is the third book that is being released here July 1st. So congratulations. Oh, second. Yeah, second. Second book. Mm-hmm. Well, hey, I'm prophetically telling you, you're going to have a third.
Absolutely.
That's so good. But it is, it's called Hard, it's all about hard conversations. Mm-hmm. And so the actual title is, Hard Conversations Over and Over. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Hard Conversations Book 2, Over and Over. Yep.
Yeah. And the first one is Hard Conversations, Breadcrumbs to the Past.
Yes.
And so that's a powerful title as well. But let's talk a little bit about, you chose the genre of urban fiction. Mm-hmm. Tell us why you chose that genre in order to write your books.
Absolutely. And so the reason that I chose urban fiction, number one, I wanted to tell not necessarily my story, but the stories of many people all over the world. I wanted to tell it, and specifically it was important for me to tell the stories of people of color, right? I am a person of color, but it was important for me to tell the story of people of color, especially in our country and where we live, where a lot of times our stories are seeming as if they want to be erased or that they don't matter. And so I wanted to tell the stories of fictional characters. The book is about five fictional people across the country who have had very different life experiences, but they all have come to the same conclusion in life that they can't move forward without addressing what has happened in their past. And I chose urban fiction because I always say that even though it's not my personal story, a little bit of me in all of them. And I, whenever I've written these books, I always sit down. I don't have like a story out, outline of what I want to write. I always sit down and say, Holy Spirit, help me to tell somebody's story. Help me to tell somebody's story, because you know all things. And so help me to tell the story of someone that when they read this, it will give them the courage to heal. It'll give them the courage to move forward. And I always say in all of my books that, you know, it's not one person's story. It's the story of your aunt, your uncle, your nephew, your cousin, your brother. And sometimes it's our own story. And I feel like everyone will, no matter what your race is, that you'll be able to find a piece of yourself in it. And hopefully my prayer is that it will give people the courage to start dialogues with the people in their life that they love. In order for them to move forward. The book, every person in the book has built on the surface what looks like a successful life, but at the same time, they're not having the interpersonal relationships that they want. And it's always rooted in something that they has occurred in their life. And they think by achieving things, accumulating things, that's all that it matters. And they keep coming back to the same place that I can't move forward until I address my past. And so therefore they have to have those hard conversations. And so book one started it. Book two picks up where book one lets off. And so if someone is trying to pick up at book two that comes out on July 1st, they may want to go back and get book one because I don't go backwards and fill in all the gaps. So it is a continuation, and you are prophetic because I'll be working on book three because the story is not done in book two.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, I love that. And I always talk about how forgiveness is the key to fitness and wellness. It's and so I would imagine, you know, most of these stories have a forgiveness component to it. But let's talk a little bit about moving forward from our past. Why can't we just move forward? Like, why is it so difficult?
I think that it's difficult to move forward because if you don't address what has happened to you, you haven't gotten the lesson yet. Mm. Oftentimes we like to move forward and we celebrate surviving what we've been through. And I always use this analogy. If I swim through a river of piranhas and make it to the other side, yes, I survived it. And yes, there's a point of rejoicing over surviving it. But if I don't address the wounds that happened while I was swimming, I'll bleed out before I ever make it to my destination.
Preach it.
And so I have to address it. I have to address my wounds. I can't just pretend like they didn't happen. Hey, you made it to the other side of it. Whew, let's keep moving. No. I'm bleeding. And so the bleeding doesn't stop at survival. The bleeding stops with the addressing of what happened along the way.
That's so good. Oh my gosh. Like that is a whole sermon because it's so true. And I think somehow or another, the way we are in culture today, it's like survival of the fittest. And, you know, I mean, in whatever capacity that means, it's mm-hmm. like, don't worry about your past. You just mm-hmm. keep on thriving, surviving, and that's success. When mm-hmm. really, if you were to peel back the layers of that individual, you're going to see all the wounds. You're going to see how depleted they really are.
Yes.
And so, man, there's just power in getting through that past.
And if you really look at just our lives and how they're structured, no matter where you are in the world, most people's decisions today are a result of their past. Mm-hmm. How we choose what we choose yeah. is because of what we've what been we've through been in told. Our past. And so if we never address it to fix, I always say that a lot of people's chooser is broken. A lot of people date the same person with a different face, and it's yeah. related to something that happened in their past. And so if they never address it, you can never choose differently if you never address what happened to you in your past that made you choose that way in the first place.
So good. It becomes that generational curse, as they call it, right? When
Absolutely.
Really it's like, no, it's becoming a generational moment of unhealing, you know.
Yes.
You haven't healed the wounds. So good. Well, what and who inspired you to become an author?
So I remember falling in love with people's story probably in the seventh grade. And so in the seventh grade, I read a book called Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry. Mm-hmm. And it was a story of a family in the South in the 1920s, a fiction novel that we had to read for class. And it so engulfed me in the story of this African-American family that I read the follow-up and the follow-up after that just on my own. And so I didn't know I wanted to be a writer. I just know I loved the story, right? And then as God began to take me back through the times in my life, every writing contest I've ever been in, I won. Every writing contest in school, in college, when I was going to college, I think my mom made me apply for 8 scholarships.
Go mom.
And all of them required a essay. And out of the 8, I got 7 of the scholarships just off of my writing. And so
Fantastic.
Sometimes God puts those breadcrumbs in us and we don't know why. And another thing is I'm a songwriter. And so I've been writing songs since probably 7 or 8. And so there's been this gift of writing. I didn't know how God would use it, but he has. And then venturing into urban fiction, it gives me the freedom to not have to have everything related to my own personal life, but being able to tell the story of many different people is a creative thing for me. So,
yeah. And you just get those creative downloads from the Lord,
Absolutely.
Whether it's through your music
Absolutely.
Or through the writings of your book. It's so good. Now, is there one character that you can really relate to in your books more than others, or?
So I would say out of all the characters in the book, I would say Angel. So there's a story, the story of Angel in each of the books is a complicated relationship that he's had with his father that started when he's a Puerto Rican young man, and his father had substance abuse problems. His father and his mother broke up. They are immigrants. From Puerto Rico. And so he has challenges with his father, both as a child and as an adult, now that his father has changed his complete life and tries to come back into his life. And so sometimes an angel's tried to move on, but when the reemergence of his father sends him into a tailspin of emotions, of do I let him back in, even though he's completely different now? And sometimes people don't talk about the anger that can happen when someone has traumatized you and now they show up completely redeemed and completely changed. And you're angry almost because of our pride that God would allow them to change. And should we let them back in our life? So I identify with Angel from the perspective of a complicated relationship with his father. A lot of his story is not my story. I didn't experience that with my dad, but I would relate to him more than anybody else because of that dynamic and just wanting to learn how to be a productive man in society when you don't always have that example in front of you. That's how I identify with him.
That's so good. Do you have a family yourself?
Yes. I'm married and I have a son, a 10-year-old son. Yep.
Oh, wow. And so as you are relating to your wife and your son, are you I don't know. I'm just curious how your writings have inspired you to become a better father or a better husband. Can you pinpoint any of that?
Sure. So for me, I think one of the pivotal moments for me was in 2020. So when COVID happened, I work in corporate America and I started working from home. But at that same time, my son was in pre-K, about to go to kindergarten. We had gotten in March a new puppy. And everybody was home except my wife. My wife was still going into our office. And so I had to be the lunch guy. I had to be the dog walker. I had to be, because my son couldn't read yet. So anytime his teacher needed a worksheet, I had to stop my meeting or what have you and do that. And so I found myself overwhelmed, but unable to express it. And really, that was what really led me into having this hard conversation with my wife first, to say, I am not okay. I feel like I'm about to lose my mind. And I think it was the overwhelm of everything. I'm an introverted person. And so being alone gives me solace. It recharges me. And so when there's not a moment when COVID happened, there was a moment when I was never alone. never alone. Everybody's home. And so I had to learn.
Like, I need my space.
Yes. I had to learn to articulate what I was feeling, what I was going through. To become a better husband, not to go off on my son for something that's not his fault. He's trying to learn, you know, he's learning to read. And so I had to express to my wife, I'm not okay. This is what I desire, require, and need. I need to go in my car and just ride around for a while, right? just to reset my mind and reset my heart and all of that and help and allowing her to understand, because I had to stop worrying about, well, how would she react if I say I need something, and just say it for me to grow as a person, for me to show up for her, to be my best self, I have to express what I require, desire, and need.
Ah, that is so good. Like, it almost brings tears to my eyes, because it's like, that is healthy communication. Like, that's what makes a marriage work, when you are able to voice that. And then the other one has just this honor and respect, right? And yes, gives you that permission to go and drive around in your car and just kind of recollect, recalibrate. Then you can come back in stronger and better than before. Where I think, you know, so often we have so many huge expectations of another person that maybe, like you said, you're like, whew, I'm just not equipped for this. This is a lot. I just need to take a step back for just a moment and give ourselves permission. So I just want to say congratulations for that too.
Thank you. You
gave yourself permission to do that, which that may sound weird. Like, I'm proud of you. I hardly know you. But a lot of people don't give themselves permission to take self-care. And so that's an important piece of the equation, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it frees us to be who God made us to be. Yeah. I think that I always say we live in this dispensation of time at one time, right? This is the only time that we'll live like this until after Jesus comes back. Why live this whole experience repressed and not able to be fully who God's made us to be? He made us to be free. He made us to express ourselves. The first thing he gave us was communication. Right. And so he gave us himself, and then he gave us the ability to communicate. And so when we don't do it, we don't live at our full expression of who he is, of his full glory. And so why live your whole life not getting what you desire, require, and need, when we can just open up our mouth and people that really love us and who really want the best for us, they'll be able to receive it. So why do we play ourselves in our minds that they won't get it? They won't understand. They won't be able to provide it. How do we know unless we express it?
That's so good. And I think when it's not coming from a selfish motive, then it's going to be received.
Absolutely.
Better. Like, when you come at it at a selfish tone or whatever, then it's not going to be received, and you're probably not going to be able to even express it in the way that your needs, what they really are that you're trying to get met. So
yes,
I really appreciate the work you're doing. This has been such a great conversation.
Absolutely.
As we end this call, because I know you're a man of faith, would you be willing to pray for the listeners that
Absolutely.
Are really desiring to have hard conversations?
Absolutely. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for every listener that will ever hear this, ever see this. We thank you, Father God, for giving them your grace and your courage to speak up about what they require, what they desire, what they need, what has happened to them in their lifetime, Father, not in a way of accusation, but in a way of healing. Thank you, Lord, for giving them strength to look beyond the lies of the enemy and to utilize the courage and the words that you've given, that their lives may be better. We thank you, Jesus, that you said that you've come to heal the brokenhearted. And so, Father, we thank you that every listener is allowing that healing to begin. Thank you, Father God, for opening the eyes of the understanding of those that would hear their heart and that they'd be able to receive it. Lord, thank you, Lord. Your word declares that you take out the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. We ask that you would give every person the heart of flesh in families, in relationship, in communities, that as we express ourselves, God, as we tell our stories, that it can be received in meekness and in love, and that it can transform who we are and who our community is. Let all that we do glorify you, and let it bring us closer to you, God, through the grace that you provided. We love you. And we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I appreciate this time. And those of you listening, go to bjcommunicates.com. I'll also put your links in the show notes. But go and grab the series of books, not just the new one, but the series. So right. God bless you, friend.
Absolutely. It's available everywhere online books are sold. And so anywhere you want to go, you can get the book by me. Yep.
Perfect. All right. God bless you. Thanks for the interview. Take care. Well, that's a wrap for today's show. So thank you so much for tuning in. I love spending this time with you. To learn more and get more free resources, just head on over to wendypett.com. And thank you in advance for sharing this episode and this podcast, following and subscribing not only to this podcast, but finding me on social media, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, wherever you are, I'm probably there too. Until next week and our next podcast time together, make it a visibly fit day.